Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and I thought it would be a great idea before the end of 2016, with all the craziness that's going on in our world and with the holidays coming up, we had to take a trip and get an appointment with Georgia Dow. So she is back on. Georgia, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little bit sick, so I apologize. I might sound a little bit funny. May have random sneezing fits. So I'm sorry about that.
Well, you can't be impervious to the perils of living up into the tundra of Canada and the craziness of the holidays. Even though you guys had your Thanksgiving a couple of weeks ago, I'm sure it still gets a little bit crazy up there towards the end of the year.
It does. We've already had our snow and it's getting cold.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. It's something to behold.
I will give. I was up in Toronto. I know it's not the same area. A couple weeks ago. You're up in Montreal, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I was in the general vicinity of Canada. I guess like I was in the United States or something. But
right.
Canada is pretty awesome, and Toronto is pretty great. And their airport in Toronto has complimentary espresso and bottles of water, which is just like, what planet am I on?
That's so thoughtful. That's so Canadian, really.
Exactly. That's like, oh, like there was like, you go to any airport in the United States and it's like, yeah, it's $5 for a shot of espresso. It's going to be $3 for that 16-ounce bottle of water. And, you know, you're going to be thankful that it's just here and it made it through security so you could have it. It's nuts. But we got a lot to talk about, and you know, we are getting towards the end of the year. There isn't as much daylight out, and seasonal affectiveness disorder, or as other people know it as SAD, is something that is going to be afflicting, you know, a lot of people out there. And it's something that even if people are listening as like coaches and trainers, like if you have that 5 a.m., 6 a.m. client as well, you need to kind of like keep this in mind. This might be something that you want to discuss with them. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, you know, steps that we can take to, you know, ease the effects of this as much as possible, combat it, and just make sure we're doing what we should be doing so we can try to, be in the best possible position as we go into the winter.
Right. So 15 to 30% of the population go through this. And what it is, because you're like, well, what is this? I've heard about it. I've heard about the winter blues. I know that it's something, but I'm not sure exactly what it is. So what it is the feeling that you are a little bit maybe more tired, less motivated. You might want to eat more. You might actually want to eat less. It might be more difficult to get to the regular daily routine you have. And you might feel like mildly, and I say like depressed in mood, like there's just less affect to you during this period of time. Now, it's really interesting that this is due to the amount of sunlight that we get. And during the winter months for you, so everyone has winter during a different period of time, depending on where you are towards the equator. And this affects people further from the equator more because there's a great difference between the amount of sunlight that you get in your winter months. So what happens is our bodies go into a mild form of hibernation, which is common to many species. But for us, it wasn't really well known beforehand. And it was formally named and described in 1984. So this is pretty recent, even though a lot of people have talked about going through the winter blues. So if this is happening to you, or if you're training someone else, or even if a friend or someone else is going through this, it's great to speak about, because once you know, you can do something about it. And at times it's really mild. And so, you know, you can think that, and I'll go through why it's important as a species, because it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I do this for a living, but I think it's kind of cool because it's adaptive. So if we're less motivated, we use up less nutrients and we waste less nutrients because we're not doing as much. And so hibernation in a species was great because the winter months are the hardest months to find resources to be able to do things. They're very dangerous. There's less sunlight. Other predators are going to be more risk-taking behavior to even get food. And so us doing a little bit less helped our species survive. And that's why it affects so many of us. You have to think about anything that affects a wide amount of the population probably was adaptive in one period of our existence. Mm-hmm. And so that affects the amount of serotonin that we have, the amount of our circadian rhythm. So our sleep habits also change, our eating habits change. And it's really one of these things that if you're aware of, you can do a lot to be able to help out of it. If you're not aware of it, then often it can get worse and worse throughout the winter months. And if you're already prone to anxiety or depression, it can cohabitate together and make it even more difficult to get past.
Huh. Man, well, like is, I mean, when I kind of like have thought about this in the past, I you know, solutions that have been brought up have been things like, you know, like a blue light, like Philips makes a blue light. I think they were one of the first companies that were really pushing those hard. And in vitamin D, are those still like the two best weapons against this?
Yes, it's a really good idea. And I think that everyone could get a full spectrum light for their home somewhere. You only need to be in front of it for about 30 to 40 minutes. So it's not a long time. And it doesn't look like a different light. You wouldn't mm-hmm. notice it. It looks like the same light. So it's, one of the things that you could take a look at is if this happens to you, if you notice that during the winter months, you feel less motivated, things are more difficult, you're a little bit more antsy or aggressive or a little more snippy, then that's a good sign that this might be something that you're going through. Hmm. So it's costs about $150 to $200 for the light bulb. You can put it into, you can just buy the light bulb. You don't even have to buy a full set of lights. So if you have already your favorite setup, you could just buy the light bulb itself and move it into an area where, you know, you sit for, you know, about 40 minutes or so. And that can give you the amount of vitamin D, and also it can help produce more serotonin in your system.
So I shouldn't like go out and replace all, like if I was loaded, just get a bunch of these light bulbs and just be like, you know, like Superman going next to the yellow sun for his superpowers.
Right. Right, right. Well, it is a little bit like that, but you don't need that much. Like okay. Sometimes we can overdo it. So you don't need to have that much light of what you're having. Really, all we need is like one light bulb, like 30 to 40 minutes a day, and you're going to be producing a little bit more of the histamine during the daytime. You're going to be getting more serotonin. You're going to get your vitamin D. You're going to feel a little bit better through that. So you don't need to go all out. You don't have to be, you know, Bruce Wayne rich to be able to treat this. But that's one of the things that's best. But if you want, you can also do it through exercise.
So when, again, we're looking at, we're talking, you know, people here on our side of the world, I guess it's going to be a little bit different if you're up, you know, at the North Pole or Antarctica, because they're obviously a little bit different in terms of the daylight that they're getting from day to day. But it seems like it is most important to attack this, like first thing in the morning, first thing that you get up, you know, get that exposure to that light bulb or to that light, and that will help kind of like reset your body.
Yes, it's going to, so what's going to happen is that, so the you want to go through the opposite of hibernation. Hibernation is you're going to eat those carbs, fatty, salty foods to try to gain as much nutrients as you can to survive through the winter, which makes sense the way that we used to live. It doesn't make sense for now that food in most parts of the world is relatively plentiful. Hmm. Now, so the exercise is another thing. It's the opposite of hibernation. Hibernation is you want to sleep, you want to stay in your covers and warm and snug, and you don't want to really go out and face the world. So the opposite of that would be exercise. So what we're hoping for is like 15 to 20 minutes of cardio a day. Mm-hmm. Now, this is good just to kind of start kicking in the opposite of this is not sleep, relax, hibernation time. This is go out, do what you have to do time.
Love it. All right. Well, you guys, you got to make sure you're staying on top of that stuff. Like, that's super important. And, like, it can completely, like, cause a 360. And, you know, as someone that does have, like, I wouldn't say rough energy levels in the morning, but I definitely get a slow start. It has reminded me, I've had one of those Philips blue lights for years, and it's been in my, I'm pretty sure it's in my closet right now. I got to pull that thing back out and add it back to my morning daily routine, aside from my gallon of coffee and 14 cups of green tea. get back my superpowers of being able to wake up in the morning, because it's tough. Like, I used to be such a much more of a morning person, like even in college, believe it or not, where I would be, as soon as I like woke up, I felt like I was wide awake, I was ready to go. But I'm getting old. I got some miles on these tires, and it's even more important to take care of that stuff, I guess, these days.
Oh, yes. And if you start doing it, like it takes about 2 weeks before you get into that. It feels good. At first, you're just going to be like, Kevin in Georgia, why'd you make me do this? Send us angry messages on Twitter or by email. That's fine. But go out and do it anyways. At least do it just so that you can say, I hate this and I can't believe you're making me do this. Great. Do whatever you have to do. I have a whole bunch of clients that send me. I said, so you can send me angry texts, but just exercise. I don't mind how much you spew venom at me. Just do it anyways. And it always makes me chuckle and feel proud when they actually have started up to do it, because it helps so much. And that's why it's really important to understand that you're going to have to go against your natural tendencies in this case. And it's great for trainers so that you know, oh, you know what? I can tell that this is the time when the people start to say, I don't want to train, is probably the time when they need to train the most.
Mm. Okay. So yeah, I mean, if you're going to like send us stuff on Twitter or email, I would rather have like dogs rolling around in grass or, funny gifts would be appreciated, in this time of the season. No angry tweets, please. Not to me. Send them to Georgia.
You can send them to me. You can send them to me.
All right, so this is a very, we're coming off of, and this is, we're recording on Cyber Monday. I don't know what, that's such a weird thing. But
why is it called Cyber Monday?
Because it's when all the internet deals happen, even though they happen on Thursday this year.
Okay. I did not know that.
That was the big deal. It's like it started with Amazon and like Barnes and Noble that would have big deals on, the Monday for all those people that still had, credit left on their credit cards to fill up. But now we have Cyber Monday. But it was one of the things that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, because I think it's important to talk about like the psychological effects of deals and sales, and we are somewhat conditioned to. Again, if you're having like a rough season, there's like a term, retail therapy. I even had a friend, my buddy Alex, who's out in Japan, who bought like, a $2,000 laptop and bought a bunch of like video games. He's like, I'm so sad about, the state of the election over the last couple of weeks. I was like, I need some retail therapy. So, I'm kind of just curious if you do have any advice for people that could potentially be prone to, getting caught up in, it's on sale, I have to buy it right now. Like, I need to spend it, even if I don't have the money. This is like the best time to buy. Do you have any advice for people to try to curb their sometimes urges to spend money that they don't have, or just buy things that they don't need or really actually want, just because, it's Cyber Monday or it's Black Friday and the deals are there?
Right. The deals are there, and we have that almost like an expectational debt, like that feeling of, this is how much it usually is and this price is off. And so this is a huge deal. So I should grab this now because it may not be happening if not. And advertisers know, like sometimes people actually like they boost up a price artificially just so that they can cut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then people naturally say, well, I saved $150. Like it's still another $400, but I saved $150, and that's great because they feel like they've saved something. But really, all you've done is spent $400.
Right.
And if the price was just $400, there's less of a chance that you would buy it. And so that's really interesting. What we need to do is that this is an actual limbic reaction. So that is the part that goes past your working memory. So the part of our brain that deals with analytical thought gets rerouted when it's a big deal, because it's an emotional reaction, especially when we really like something and there's a sale on it. We go straight to the emotional part of our brain, and we want it, and we want it now, because we don't want to miss on this deal.
Right, like, and if I can't get
loss.
Right, and if I can't get like 2-day shipping, then I'm not even buying it from you. Like, you're nuts. Like, I need it in 2 days. I can't wait 7 days to get this thing.
Right, exactly, and it's. it's one of these things that even if you know, it still works. Right? Like, even if you know, so I know that this happens, it still works. So what you want to do is you want to be prepared to understand what's happening. And a lot of people, like, I know that I'm, when I'm starting to feel down or there's something bothering me, because I start to online shop. Now, I'm good that I'll just do the shopping part most of the time, because I have a rule for myself.
And not checkout. Just like put it, maybe even put it in the cart.
Exactly. I put it in the cart, but I'm not going to buy it now.
I like that idea. All right.
Yeah. It's a nice idea, because I still get the fun of buying, of like searching for it, which
reading
takes
reviews,
a lot of-
comparing prices. Like we're crazy about this now. Like we're like, and I'll follow up with a story after this, but like I went to go buy something. I'm like, all right, well, I need to read at least a dozen reviews from people that have no, like literally have no experience reviewing products, have no context of what else is out there usually, but I'm going to read their reviews, because if it has a 1-star review, then I'm not buying this thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I get the high from shopping for it, but then you want to give yourself that space so that you're not going to purchase it while you're really feeling down or upset or angry. You don't even want, it's the same rule as you don't want to go shopping for food when you're hungry. You're going to buy a lot of food that you're not going to buy. Oh, by the way, shopping for food online, for those that can, a lot of food markets will pack the food for you, bring it to your car. It's an amazing experience. And we save so much money because there's no impulse buying. There's right. No, ooh, this is packaged so beautifully. You know, I got to taste it, so now I feel obliged. You know, when you do the tasting, I always feel a little bad. And I'm like, I'll stick it in my cart. And then later I'm like, oh, why did I stick it in my cart? What am I going to do? You know, you leave it at the aisle after.
right.
No one's going to know. I just feel bad because I really enjoyed it. Just, you know, so you can, even for areas that have sales, especially if you're on like you're at the actual store, they'll hold it on layaway with the sale for you and you can buy it the next day. Some places will say you have to buy it today, but often these Black Friday sales or, you know, Cyber Monday, they're actually not for one day. So you can wait a little while. And if I have the next rule is that if I'm not thinking about it the day after or the day after that, mm-hmm. I don't really like it. Like, that's just the truth. If it's not running through my head, then I really don't want it. And often it might run through my head for like a day, perhaps two, but maybe not three or for the week. And so I give myself that time and I go back to it. And I'm like, eh, that was more of a, like, I can get really like swept away with, you know, oh, I want to buy some, like it's something trendy. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. These like, you know, angel wing earrings. And I'm like, okay, you know, eh, gone past that phase.
I mean, I was super lucky because I did the, you know, same thing. Like I'm hanging out on Thanksgiving with my family. We're hanging out and we're watching, oddly enough, Minority Report on like TV as we're like food's cooking and stuff. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to take a look. And I'm like, oh, Street Fighter V, $20. I got to buy that. I'm like, all right, bought it. Then like 5 minutes, I'm like, I will never play this game. I will never play it. Why did I just do that? Just because it's whatever, $40 off. I'm an idiot. So I like, luckily, like they keep that thing just long enough in their system so you can cancel it like 15 minutes later. And I must have done that like two or three times because it is, it's such a gratifying thing to buy stuff that is on sale that it is almost just like, you know, for people that do use, you know, food as a, you know, a course of therapy or to like relieve stress or something like that. It's kind of like the same thing as like getting a large pizza. You know, it's like, oh man, this is awesome. This is going to be great. But then that remorse sets in. But at least with Amazon, you can cancel it a couple minutes after buying it or return it. Can't do it so much with, you know, that extra, you know, slice of cake or something like that.
Right. And what happens in your brain is you get a surge of dopamine when you buy something.
And it feels so good.
You get this surge of just getting a sale is a great, exciting experience. There's some people that's their thing, is trying to find the biggest deals, coupon cutting, all of these different things that we can have, searching online for different things that they can get at, you know, price comparisons. The bigger the deal, the greater our feeling of dopamine surge comes through in our system, which we've already spoken about, is that motivation and that feeling of happiness. happiness. And then after that, you get that serotonin of like, yeah, this is mine. And, you know, you get that feeling and you feel good for a little while. But, you know, even if it's something really cool, like a new car, eventually that feeling goes away. You might still love that car, but it's not the same as when you first got it. And so a lot of what we're buying is we're using an extrinsic source, an outside source, to try to feed an inside deficiency. So I'm feeling down, I'm feeling upset, I'm feeling sad. And I say deficiency, by the way, by meaning like less missing something, not meaning that you are deficient if you have this, just right. So that we can be clear to that, because this is normal to everyone. We all have this. But when we're feeling low, we want to feel better. And so that shopping, the looking at the price and getting that deal and buying something and being part of that fury of all these people, you know, like being the one person that got something that was rare, gives you such a great high feeling that you want to relive that, and it can end up becoming a shopping addiction. So I have my own rules so that I you know, I can let myself online shop. And I always go, if I'm not doing it for something that I actually need, I'm just searching for something that I want to need, which is totally a difference. I think to myself always, you know what, Georgia, you must be, usually it's not when I'm stressed, because usually that's when I feel low. When my mood is more low, that's when I'll do the shopping because I want to get the high. If I'm anxious, for me, and everyone is different, then I want to burn off that anxiety or I want to go to sleep. That's my patterns. And so understanding your patterns also lets you know what's happening. And so I can say, am I overworked? Am I having, relationship issues? Is it stress from, you know, being a parent? Is it going to work? Is it, you know, having something that, I have to do my taxes or some paperwork that I've been avoiding? And then I can say, okay, you know, because I can see my own pattern and I can understand that it actually means something else. Because rarely is it that you actually need the shoes.
Right. Totally.
Rarely.
totally. I mean, this was a weird, like, morbid curiosity thing when I saw, you know, this is the world that we live in, of social media. Like, you'll see people post like Black Friday videos too, of people like trampling each other to try to get a toaster for $10 off. And it's, it was something I was happy. I caught myself this year and be like, nope, not going to click on it. Not going to click on it this year. I know it's just the worst of humanity. I'm going to let it, I'm just going to not look at it. Not the worst of humanity. That's a little bit extreme, I should say, but I'm going to pass on this and I'm going to go instead look at, again, dogs rolling around and puppies rolling around in grass. That will make me feel way better than watching that.
Yeah. And I think that we need to be aware of that, that sometimes too much media or a certain type of media will cause us more stress than healing. And we need to also turn that off and be able to curate what we consume. So we often think of consumption as food that we eat, but the people that we hang around with, the media that we're watching, the websites that we're going to, the activities that we are choosing to do are also consumed. They're just consumed by our brain. But that has an actual effect on our bodies and our sense of well-being. And so don't feel guilty if you can't watch the news or you need to not talk to that family member for a little bit of time because you're feeling really upset and they're going to make that worse. That's fine. You need to make sure that you are being careful in not only the way that you treat your body on the inside, but also the what you consume for emotionally on the outside as well, that's coming in.
With all that being said, if you are going to buy stuff through Amazon this year, if you go to fitgas.network/Amazon, fitgas.network and click on the Amazon button at the top, a small percentage will be kicked back to the Fitgas Network and you will help support the podcast. But only do that on stuff that you actually need to buy.
Or gifts,
like
for others, because that's a great way to stop the holiday stress.
Right.
Is to buy things online so you don't have to, because, you know, buying things online, you can get better deals. They're shipped right to your house. Sometimes they'll even gift wrap. Certain places will send them with like a special wrapping, or they'll at least put a little note on it, and it's all done. Like, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to deal with the rush of people and they're angry and they're like, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Not really. Not for many people. Some people love it, but some people, this is the worst time of year. So, you know, you can buy all of your gifts on Amazon, and it's a great experience and so much fun. And you can usually find a greater variety and buy someone something that they really need.
Total masters of making shopping an absolute blast. And I was susceptible to this year because I was totally not in the market. I was kind of in the market for a because I get on planes a lot. I'm literally flying to Munich in like 3 days. So
oh wow, that's amazing. What are you flying? May I ask?
What airline? Or why?
No,
am I
flying? Are you flying for fun or for work?
Oh, for work. I go there amazing. Once or twice a year for work. So, but they fly us like economy class, which is fine. But as a 6 foot tall dude with a 15 inch MacBook Pro, it gets really hard if the person leans back in front of you to do any work. Like literally I had my laptop like half like folded almost all the way shot to try to get work done on one of my flights there because the person back like leaned all the way. It's an overnight flight. So, anyways, I was in the market for like a smaller like travel laptop, and like Microsoft did a really good deal on Surface Pro 4 with like the keyboard and everything for $1,000. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna give this a shot just because, you know, I have a trip coming up. It'll be a good test case. I'm gonna just see if I can, you know, bring this with me and nothing else, and see if it works. And they got a 30-day return policy. Even if I don't like it, I can just return that thing and be good to go. So yeah, I totally fell victim to like, yeah, it's $400 off like something that would normally be $1,400. Like that seems like a good thing. So I'll buy it. It's a business expense too. So
oh, nice.
I mean, this is the year where I get to figure out what can I write off in my like tax returns. Like I have no idea how any of this stuff works, and that's why I have an accountant.
Yeah, but it's so nice. It is good idea to figure out what you can expend and how to do this better, because we're not taught in schools how to manage our finances very well.
Right.
And it's an essential skill.
Totally. Totally. I could not do this myself. I would recommend also getting some help if you do need it for that stuff. But, anyways, like with all this stuff, you know, it came back to a discussion that we had previously where, we're talking like consumerism type stuff and brand loyalty when all the Apple stuff happened last time we talked. I was waiting for new MacBooks, and then like these new MacBooks came out and I felt absolutely betrayed. I felt like this company that I supported for 10 years no longer, and this is total first world problems that no one should care about, but for someone that produces tons of content it is a little bit more of a personal issue where like I felt completely betrayed by how, you know, they were putting together these new MacBooks. Like they're abandoning me as a consumer. What am I going to do? So I ended up poking around on Windows stuff, and I don't know. I just felt like I should call back to that last discussion we had because it didn't seem to be just me, but it seemed to be a lot of backlash from, you know, the tech community on, you know, the route that Apple is going. Like they're almost like abandoning us, and that seems like such an irrational reaction for us to have because they're just computers, right?
They're just computers, but they're more than computers to us. Often there's a lot of people that would choose, if they had to give up the internet or their mate, they would choose to not give up their technology.
You know, I will, this is completely super forthcoming and I should never do this on the show, but I've been doing it for 10 years and I've always been more forthcoming than I should be. But, you know, from time to time, like I'll be on like OkCupid or like Match.com, you know, you're trying to find, you know, a date or something like that. And it blows me away how many times like you'll see, and this is, I'm only looking at women, so I can only say for women, but I'm sure it's the same thing for guys. Like I couldn't live without the internet. like I have like a list of like what are the five most important things in your life. Like it'll be family, friends, my dog, like going to the beach, and like the internet. I'm like, moving on. Like that shouldn't be one of the most important things in your life, but I guess it kind of is for many of us that like make our living producing content, producing podcasts, producing. Like I spend lots of my week in Adobe Premiere or in Audition or recording Skype calls. Like that is super important to us.
it's really important. And I think that when I'm without, when I go camping and I don't have any internet connection, at first I do feel that loss, that feeling of, you know, I'm missing out. I don't know what's happening in the world. And so you go through like 1 to 3 days of kind of that, of like, oh, this is usually my go-to thing. When I have a, you know, a moment, I go and I surf the internet, or I go onto Facebook, or I play a game, or I do something else. And then after that, you feel this feeling of peace and, wow, I can be so much more productive and I feel so much more relaxed. So it comes with a cost, and then later it comes with a benefit. There was a study on families giving up the internet as a group and what happened. And it was really cool because the family, mom, dad, everyone was really angry and aggressive for the first, I think they did it for a month, for the first few days. And actually my friend, Christine Cook, wrote a book where she gave up the internet. It's called The Joy of Missing Out. It's really a great book of how she also for a month gave up the internet and what her experiences were in that.
How do you even do that? Like, how do you even do that today?
It was really interesting because when I heard her speak, she was talking about how, you know, what she really gave it up, like hardcore gave it up. Mm-hmm. Like no matter what. So she had to send snail mail for things. And there was a few bumps and bruises, like people, some friends didn't know where she was because she wasn't answering her texts.
Yeah.
Because she only sent it to as many people as she could. And it was hard for her to be reached, and she missed out on some emails. And then she wrote this book. She wrote chapters in this book during the time when she was going through this. And so then how did she, without using technology, how did she write this? So she got out an old typewriter. I might be wrong about that. Christina hears this. I might be wrong about that. But in my mind, you got out an old typewriter and pen and paper, and you actually wrote it that way. And then you had to retranscribe it when you were being able to send it. And she had to send it by mail to her editor. It was really interesting, that feeling. But the family, which was fascinating, what they did was after that, after the first 5 days of trauma, of that feeling of missing out, they realized, they started playing games together. They talked together more often. They hung out together. So this was a family that they showed beforehand. The girls were in separate rooms. The father was in one room. And even when they were together, they were all on their separate devices and they weren't interacting. So then they started doing games night, and they would end up watching, for them, it was only the internet. So they watched movies together, but, you know, like through an old, like, you know, system, not through the internet or Netflix or anything really cool. And they had so much more fun and more free time. They said, wow, what am I going to do with all this time I had? So they went back to reading and creating and doing their homework. They're like, I wanted to do my homework because I was like, oh, there's nothing else to do. I might as well do my homework. And their grades went up. It was really interesting. I'm not saying that everyone should do this. And I consume a lot of technology, so I definitely enjoy it. But there's a balance, and I think that we're a little bit out of balance. I think most people, if you ask them, you know, do you spend too much time on the internet or using technology? I think most people would say, yeah, probably. I probably do. It's made to make us want more of it.
And I should apologize because I will be muting myself somewhat regular because of all the times, of all the days, my apartment building's landscaping is happening right now. So I will be, I apologize if I am talking and you hear outside, I'm doing my best. So yeah, that's super, super fascinating stuff. And I think it's like, you know, best just for all of us to be cognizant as much as possible about this stuff, and almost to like I tried to like write down like what the hell was going on in my head. Like, yeah, Kev, you actually don't need a new MacBook Pro. Yours is actually really good. Like, the best thing about them is they'll last for years and they'll still be good for years.
That is true.
And maybe you're just looking to get something that was like 10% faster, but maybe that's actually a really good thing. Maybe because they aren't that much better, you don't even need to buy one, which is kind of the decision that I came to. But again, it was just funny to be, again, like, not only to be me, like just myself, but to see like actual people in like tech journalism and stuff like that being like, yeah, like they're clearly not making computers for me anymore. And it's a really weird feeling because they were like the company that made stuff for us creative folk, or that like to think ourselves as like the creative people. So that's a weird thing. I also wanted to talk to you about, you know, just to make sure that we can keep ourselves in good mental shape right now, because and this is, I swear this is not to get political, but you know, we had an election a couple weeks ago. Heads up if you didn't check it out. We had an election here in the United States a couple weeks ago, where Donald Trump is now going to be the president-elect, and it was a really tough. It's been a really tough time for a lot of people to watch this happen around them, and you know, I think I speak for a lot of people out there, but you know, as we're so connected with each other now, Georgia, like where I can hear reactions that people are having on Twitter, my friends that aren't white men, you know, like not to generalize things, but you know, people that could be affected by decisions that will be made by the upcoming administration, people that are, you know, gay, lesbian, transgender, that feel extremely threatened and feel almost I don't know, maybe threatens probably the best word about what could happen over the next 4 years for their lives. And but what doesn't necessarily always help is people saying like, oh no, nothing's really going to change. Everything is going to be fine. Like it's, you know, they can't really change. We have a structure set in place. So, you know, not a lot can change, but you know, it's like I have friends that are very worried about what the next 4 years could bring for them, their families, and for their well-being. So like, what the hell are we supposed to do? And, you know, again, like if you supported one person or the other, like that's not really what this is about. It's about, you know, what people should do if they do feel like a huge weight on their shoulders right now because of where things could potentially be heading. What could they do to help make sure that they stay mentally healthy as we go forward?
So there is a world, something called world anxiety. Like it's an anxiety that you deal with when about the thoughts of the world and that loss of control, that we cannot control things out of our, you know, central area, something that's directly next to us. And that can be very scary for people. Not even talking about the election. We consume so much media. Like it used to be that if something bad happens around across the world, we wouldn't know about it. So we wouldn't be affected by that. Mm-hmm. Now, because of that instant access, we have instant access to good things that happen around the world, which is wonderful, but we don't consume that much media to that. Things that trigger us, make us angry, upset, bothered, there's a greater chance that we're going to be linking to that or have that avoidance feeling that I can't consume that. And so that's can be damaging to us because how safe we feel has nothing to do with reality. Right. I know that sounds, you're like, Georgia, that sounds really off, but it's true. It is only in our perception, depending on how safe we feel or not. So in the 70s, our world was more dangerous than the 70s. Yet kids were pretty much allowed to roam free. They would be what we call now free range children. They took the bus, they came home alone, they would prepare stuff on their own, play with matches, do all kinds of stuff. They could just go out and do whatever they wanted to do and then come home. My parents, when they raised me, I had so much more freedom than my kids do today. I could go to the park, I could come home. I would be like, I'm just going to come home. And I was probably like 7. I would just come home when it was lunchtime, when it would get dark out. That was it. I didn't have a watch. I didn't know what time it was. I would just roam the neighborhood, meet people, talk to people, go out, and I would come back by the time it was supper time. And it was much, we have never had a safer time in our world, period. Mm. Statistically speaking, in the entire planet, there has never been a time that we have been so safe, statistically. Yet, our feelings of fear are much stronger towards world events. And there's one difference between that, and that is the immediacy of information, which is good, but it also comes with a cost, and that is to our anxiety. Mm-hmm. And people consume a lot of media. So we talked about the internet, which fully works into this feeling of the amount of anxiety because of world events. So it could be politics. So if you're very involved in politics, and this could be, you could be one of the people that would be very negatively affected by a set of politics. This can cause extreme amounts of anxiety and that fear, because your anxiety is that feeling of loss of control. And then you take something where you feel that something dangerous is about to happen, and there's nothing that you can do about that. you go through that feeling of you go through the stages of grief. And then after that, you can go to a point where you want to be active, or you can go to a point where you become learned helplessness.
I don't know how to best phrase this, but like the best like advice that like the self-talk that I was doing is like, you know, and to be honest, like I'm one of those people that's like, yeah, this is a real bummer right now to see like what's going on in our country. And, you know, saying, oh, Kev, you know what? It's really bad right now, but just wait a couple weeks and like, you'll feel better. And, you know, you're going to do like, whether it's like, you're going to support the ACLU or you're going to support, you know, the Trevor Project, you're going to do what's in your, what you can in your power to make a positive change. And that's really all you can expect of yourself. But like a couple weeks later, you kind of see like things that are continuing to pop up in the news, whether it be things that Donald Trump says or the people that he is picking to run the country. And you're just like, Kev, you know, things aren't getting better. Like things are maybe even getting worse before they're going to get better. But, is this just stuff that we need to like just recognize, or should we begin to meditate more? Do we just stick even closer with our friends that could potentially be, you know, feel even worse than we do? Like what, like, I don't know what else we can do to feel better about it.
So I'm going to put a little bit of a positive spin to this, because this could be very positive.
I would love you to.
So when things are good and we're in a comfortable situation, our natural inclination is to do nothing, which sounds horrible, but we become complacent and we don't really fight for things that we need to fight for, because it's not that bad that we need to do something about it. Mm-hmm. So we become kind of complacent, and that's the way that we're meant to be. Our natural nature is to, when things are good enough, that we just kind of stick it through because they're not that bad that we have to do something about this. Only when things, we see a foreseeable threat that is really bothersome to us, do people decide, oh, this is worth using up resources to fight and to band together and to do something about and to speak up. Because naturally, we don't usually want to. There's some people that do, but by and large in a population, most of the population, when things are good enough, don't want to rock the boat, because in their mind, new experiences could create unforeseen danger. And so only when things are pretty bad or foreseen as pretty bad do people become activated and want to do something to help make this better. And that's really, really good, because that makes people, like, if you're feeling that, you know, there's a project that you want to support, that there's something that you believe in, now's the time to do something about it. Now's the time to take your feelings of maybe ill or this isn't working or I'm upset about this and go out there and do something, actually do something. And that means not just sending out a message or a tweet, but, you know, volunteer, give money, help someone out, because that makes you feel powerful again. Instead of, you know, that loss of control, this gives you an area where you can control it. I can't change the world, but I can make my little bucket feel better. So it might even be, you know, picking up litter on your area of the street, you know, bring your kids, get the little sticks, go out there, do a little bit of good, which will make you feel empowered. It'll make you increase your serotonin levels and dopamine. So sense of peace and pride in I'm doing something, because if everyone did something, what would this world be like? Pretty awesome. We are good people by nature. People are generally good people, but we can often not want to try to turn the other way because we don't want to fight for something, because that might put us in danger or people might become angry at us. But doing something about that is really beneficial. And often we need to be stirred up. When we evolve as humans, and this means genetically, this means biologically, and this means emotionally, is often through difficulty. Struggling makes us stronger. And that's what can happen to us. So it may seem dark, but only through the darkness can we see the light. And so do something about it. show people that we're stronger together than we are apart. As a nation, we're stronger as one than we are divided. And that's why a lot of Canadians feel a lot of distress over this as well, because we see our sister country, our largest trading partner, our people that we see as ourselves in a lot of ways, so strongly divided, and so much animosity and so much anger and hurt. And that's very difficult for us on this side of the border.
It's always darkest just before the dawn.
Right. Exactly.
is maybe the best way to look at it. But you're 100% right. Like, I immediately felt better when I sent up like monthly donations to a couple like organizations. I'm like, you guys are going to need this cash here. Go fight the good fight. And like you said, even like the next step is, all right, you know, talk to your local organization that you believe in and be like, hey, like how can I volunteer? You know, I have a, you know, 2 hours a week or, you know, one weekend a month or something like that where I can, you know, help out, and do some good that way. But I'm a big believer in focusing not on problems, but focusing on solutions. Because if you're, you know, focused on problems, you're just going to always kind of, you know, not feel super good. Like, it's all going to mount up. Instead, like, you know, focus on, all right, well, if this is happening, okay, what are the things that I can do to make things better, you know, to take action or to begin to, you know, help the flow go into the, you know, direction that I want it to go in or whatever. And that sounds like that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and I'm gonna, if it's okay to read a quote from Martin Luther King Jr., which I love because it's so true, but also this was a turning point in American culture and history. And he said that returning hate for hate, multiple hate, adding a deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that.
And I think that's where we should end this episode. Take that with you guys as you go throughout the rest of your day, or if you're listening to it at night, take it with you as you go to sleep and bring it with you into the morning. So, Georgia, thank you so much for taking some more time to hang out and talk. And I hope people, again, like this is even more so now, if you have heard about it in the past and you haven't head over there and checked it out, it could be super beneficial. Today is to go over to anxiety-videos.com and go check out the amazing work that Georgia has up on there. And I think that you got to talk to each other, you know, you got to talk to each other, mm-hmm. and focus on solutions. You know, this is like I more or less had a weekly chat with someone that I've set up to talk to and help me out with this stuff. It's a local therapist, if it's a best friend, if it's, you know, someone that can give you some good feedback, professional feedback, it's always better. But yeah, and anything else, Georgia, that people should keep an eye out for? I know you're on Twitter, at Georgia_Dow, but you're always traveling. You're on Twit a bunch. You're at imore.com. And now that was great to have you on Twit a couple weeks ago, again, kind of talking a little bit about this stuff. So you guys want to hear more from Georgia. I think it was, 2 weeks ago you were on Twit?
Yeah, last Sunday.
Last
Sunday. Okay. And it was a lot of fun, but we were also talking about some really serious subjects, which, you know, I think for some people it's like, oh, it's too much, I don't want to talk about politics. But it's also, there's a lot of people struggling, and if this can make people better, we discussed a lot of different issues about, you know, what could happen in security and people and coming back together. And I wanted to give out my email if anyone has any questions about therapy, you know, they're struggling about something, looking for it, you can send me an email. It's Georgia@imore, imore.com. I don't mind getting them all. Sometimes I don't answer right away. That's the only thing. But if you're needing just to send out a few questions, or you're looking for someone to be able to speak to and you want to know, you know, what would be someone that was, you know, good and comfortable. I do Skype sessions sometimes as well, when I have some free time in my schedule. But, you know, it's something to just have someone else that can kind of help you pick up. It's so nice to have you know, someone like that support system around you. Mm. It's important for us. We need to be with other people, and people that are uplifting makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Totally. Go out and don't stay indoors. Don't be afraid and feel like you need to stay indoors.
Get out. Get a new environment. Yes.
Totally. Go rock climbing. Go indoor rock climbing.
Or just take a walk, or just, even if you sit in a different room than you usually sit in, it's better than staying in the cave. We have to kind of get you out of the cave a little bit, do some breathing. It's going to be okay. Take a moment for yourself. I'm doing watercoloring. That's my thing.
Hell yeah.
I'm now doing watercoloring.
Wait, are you doing it in VR or are you doing it in real life?
I'm actually doing it in real life, but it's not like like difficult watercoloring. It's like these little aquarelle sets. So it's already like set up for you. It's like paint by numbers, but it's watercolor.
Those. Yeah.
And it has like plastic over the parts that you're not supposed to watercolor. So you don't have to worry about getting out of the line. So for a type A personality like me, it's amazing because I'm out of the lines. It doesn't show. So that's been a lot of fun. I'm going to buy more sets.
Oh, jeez.
You can get it at a craft store. They're amazing.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, it will be cool to see if VR is able to be a force of good in helping with people in their anxiety and stuff like that. It, not necessarily as, like, a getaway to
escape.
Exactly, to escape, but instead to like, I'm just going to go hang out in like a cool field of flowers for a couple minutes because there's 18 feet of snow outside and it's freezing. And I just want to like hang out in a beautiful environment for a couple minutes and, you know, shoot some like rockets at like a mountain and make some art or something. I don't know. VR seems cool. Okay.
Yeah, I've actually, sorry, I'll just say, I apologize. We always do this.
No, as long as you have time, I don't mind talking for a couple minutes.
I got a game that was on treating a fear of spiders, phobia of spiders. And I'm not scared of spiders, but I could feel that this could work. It did a good job of the proper steps in dealing with it. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, yes, of course, having a therapist do this better, and simple phobias might be easy to treat in VR. More complex ones, I don't think that VR might be the best way to handle it. So there was that, but I would love to have a meditation game that you would sit like a guided image. Guided imagery is one of my favorite forms of meditation because it's fun. You do your breathing, but also you see beautiful things, so you can really get swept away in that. And I listen when I'm really stressed and I can't use my regular techniques. I use a guided imagery. I go onto YouTube because I usually do it for my clients, but like, you know, there's no one to do that for me. So I usually listen to other people on YouTube, and it's really nice and fun and exciting because you're going somewhere else and you're going through the breathing and it's almost like in a story. That would be really cool in VR. So if you develop, this is something that I would love to be able to do. Beautiful scenery, the sounds, the feeling. It would be very cool. So I'm hoping for stuff like that that will help also go through mindful meditation or mindfulness techniques in VR.
Love it. Love it. That's going to be a cool space to watch. And Things are going to still be pretty cool. We're going to do our best to make sure we keep it that way.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is where we're going to wrap up this episode. Again, please go and check out all of George's fantastic stuff across the internet. You will be just surfing on the internet and you'll just trip and fall on something that she's doing, a podcast that she's on, a video that she's in, or a conference that's coming up. So just continue to browse the internet. You'll eventually find her and what she's doing. And also, you know, if you do enjoy the show, it means a lot. Become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/thefitcast. It means a lot. We have some people dropping off, and I know it's a tight time of the year. People are buying holiday gifts and stuff. But like I said, if you can't support the show on an episode basis, go to fitcast.network. Just click on the Amazon button, you get the same great deal, same great prices, but they kick back like whatever it is, like 3 or 4% back to the podcast, and you don't have to do anything else. You just got to take one extra step before heading to Amazon.com. Head to the fitcast.network first. Again, Georgia, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk with us. I hope you have a fantastic holiday and a great finish to 2016.
I hope you do as well, and thank you so much for having me back on.